Pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Father, we thank you. We love you. Put me to the side. Holy Spirit, minister here this day and reveal our purpose. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in verse 6, once again, the Bible reads, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Tells you and I here this morning that the sharing of our faith, discipleship, grants full understanding to come forth from your life. That's of Christ. When we share our faith and we're active in sharing our faith, the Bible says that we will get to a place to have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. In other words, when we share our faith, God's going to give us revelation. He's going to give us understanding as we're speaking to that individual that might be a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a neighbor, a person at work. As we're active in the sharing of our faith, God will give us full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. The sharing of your faith, being a disciple, a discipler, is very important. I hear so many people as I counsel, I don't understand what's taking place right now with my walk with the Lord. I'm confused right now. You see, and it's in those times where the enemy is quick to silence your faith, to silence the sharing of your faith. Because when people are going through it, they don't want to really talk much. It's in those times that we need to know that we need to continue to share and to be active in the sharing of our faith, so that every good thing, that we may have understanding to every good thing within our life that is of Christ. Discipling, being a disciple, allows everything that is good and is from the Lord to come forth from your life. But we need to be active in the sharing of our faith. I put a side note before I came out this morning. Whatever part of the process you are in right now, this might be your very first service. You might be saved in the home for a couple of months, might be saved for 5 years, 10 years. Whatever part of the process you're in right now, whether you're a new convert or a mature convert, discipleship, amen, the sharing of your faith is a very active ingredient in bringing forth the understanding of what Christ has put in your life. I say that discipleship is for everybody, not just those that know the Bible and been saved. I give myself, when I got saved, the very next day I was bringing carloads. I don't get tired of saying it because it's the truth. I knew no Bible. I had no relationship with the Lord yet, but yet God knew everything about my life. God knew everything that He had deposited in my life. The understanding was soon to come, but when I got saved, I was just excited. I had an excited faith within my life that I was no longer a drug addict. I was no longer going back to prison ever again. There was now a conviction in my life, though I did not understand it. I knew something was taking place at the altars, at the service. I knew who I was, and there was someone else moving and working within my life. I didn't have understanding at that point. Now I'm able to look back with great understanding and say, wow, man, that was God moving me. That was God assuring me that the understanding within my life was going to come out by me stepping out in faith. Too many times we don't want to step out in faith because it's to a place of the unknown. We've never done this before, so we don't want to do it. I don't know about you, but if you're an ex-former or an active drug addict, you didn't start off, you know, shooting $200 worth of dope the first day. You didn't start off drinking a case of beer the first day. You started because it was something that you were not aware of, amen? And you stepped out and you snuck out the window. You did what you had to do. You started stealing. And before you knew it, amen, it was no longer a faith there. You didn't care if mom and dad busted you, partying or whatever. You didn't care no more, amen? Now you were into this place. You stepped out in faith, though, because you have never done it before. We didn't wake up with a beer. We weren't born with a beer in our hand. You weren't born with a cigarette lit between your fingers. See, usually I would really go and follow up with that, but I'm going to the next. I'm moving. See, I got to catch myself. I want to give a rehab breakdown right there. I'm holding back. And a lot of times also in Christ, you may say, well, Pastor, man, I was buzzing, man. That's why I stepped out. Well, I want you to get buzzing in Jesus right now. Amen. I want you to get high on the Most High. I want the influence of Jesus. The influence of Jesus to move you this day to say, man, I got to step out. I'm under the influence of the Holy Ghost right now. See, that's what we need to take place when the Lord is probing you and he's poking at you and saying, he's speaking to you. You need to step out in faith. I'm influencing you right now to step out by faith so what I have already placed in your life that is good may be able to come out. And not just come out anyway. Come out with understanding. Come out with an order. Come out with a purpose to fulfill why the Lord has saved us. But too many times we stepped out for the enemy, but we can't step out for Jesus. We stepped out for the enemy to be cursed, but we can't step out unto Jesus to be blessed and to bless others. Discipleship. It don't matter if this is your first day. I was bringing carloads of people. I didn't know how to disciple at that time. I was a disciple, not a discipler. Amen. It took years for me to get into the role of being a discipler. But man, I would just say, come on, man. There's a bunch of crazy people like us there. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Turn out the cigarettes. Come on, man. Hey, make sure you don't cuss. Make sure, hey, turn off that cigarette, man. We're in the parking lot. Or turn the cigarette off, man. And at that time, as a disciple, a brand new convert, God was using me without me even knowing. I would bring them to the net, I would bring them to the church, and then there was other people that had more wisdom than I, that fresh out of prison wisdom I had, amen? And then there was other ones, there was other core ministries and departments in the church where the altar call would take place, people would be broken, people would be getting saved, and there's no greater high than not knowing how to disciple somebody, but bringing them to church, getting them to the altar, and get, you can be a one-day convert this day and get people to heaven by simply bringing them to church. Do you know that? As a brand new convert, I was still smoking. You, Pastor, you said I could keep smoking and still bring people to church and send them to heaven? Yes, you can. You sure can. You sure can. But Pastor, I still got this going on. Bring them to the net and let the Holy Ghost take over. That's perfect and all-knowing and knowing exactly what that individual needs. Because you ain't quite yet ready, but I'm going to equip you. I'm going to have you share your faith with just a little bit you know. I'm going to have you share your faith, and before you know it, I'm going to give you an understanding of every good thing that I have put in your life. So one day, you will be able to be a discipler, a Jesus disciple maker. I didn't walk in the church as a discipler. I walked in as a way crooked disciple. Way crooked. On parole, smoking, chasing the girls around the church. The understanding was within me, but I didn't know how to get it out. What got it out? My faith, stepping out, sharing my faith with people at the apartment complex that I lived in. It was called New Jack from that movie. It was the hood. There would be baggies all in the hallway and stuff. I'd tell my parole officer, look, every time you come, there's going to be baggies all up and down this hallway. They ain't for me. I was on a parole that 99% said go back, that only 1% makes it. And Jesus spoke to me, so he says, give me that 1% out of making it, and I'm going to turn it all around. I'm going to bring the understanding that you have in you. I'm going to bring it out, and you're never going back to prison again. And if you do, it's to share your faith that you have in me. You don't have to be all this and all that to be a disciple of Jesus. His disciples were ordinary, uneducated fishermen. Those are the ones he chose because he wanted to work with them fresh and bring the true doctrine into their life. He didn't need no Sadducees. He didn't need no Pharisees that thought they knew everything. He needed a people like you and I that don't know much but have the full understanding of Christ within our life. It needs to be brought out. How is it brought out? Stepping out in faith and sharing. See, you can come to one service, have an encounter with Jesus, and have all kinds of stuff to share to the buddies you've been partying out with. Man, I don't know, man. I just went to church, man. They invited me. Man, I was at the altar. Something happened. And you can share your faith. The sharing of your faith I put here grows your life. And in return, it's able to grow other lives. But it's so important that we continue to share our faith. Amen. Within the storms. That's how the book of Acts, the early church was built. Amen. They were killing them. They weren't looking at them with bad looks or talking about. They were killing them. Amen. When you share your faith, it grows your life. Gives you understanding so that you can grow other lives. We live in a time and an age right now where moms and dads do not know the faith. They're highly educated. They got houses. They own cars. But yet they cannot disciple their very own children. Even with everything. The sharing of your faith, which is Christ. We're living in a day and age that it just amazes me when I'm at stores and shopping how little people know about Jesus. I mean, at least back then, they saw him at least on Christmas and Easter, but nowadays, they don't even have the Easter story down or the Christmas story down. We're living in end times, darkened times. It's a time for discipleship to be taking place right now. Question. What's the number one thing in Christ that brings you more joy than anything? It should be this. I'll answer your question. Amen? It should be bringing salvation to somebody's life. Taking them, amen, from one destination we know is called hell to another destination called heaven. But yet, that is a great high to send people to heaven. To line them up with heaven. But there's a greater, I got another question. There's even a greater high than leading somebody into the sinner's prayers, amen, of salvation, into repentance. And that, the greater one, is being able to disciple someone. See, you can get saved not knowing nothing at the altar, stepping out in faith. within a minute prayer, you can become saved. And there's a lot of saved people here this morning. But are you a true disciple? Are you a true disciple maker? The greater thing would be to grow in your walk with the Lord so that you would not only remain a disciple but become a discipler in order to teach people how to walk with Jesus and how to have a true, intimate, one-on-one relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But in order for that to take place, we need to share our faith. We need to share our faith in order for that to take place. We just inviting them to church is a start. It's a beginning place. Like I used to bring them in the carloads. I used to bring them, but I didn't know how to disciple. I didn't know what scripture to take them to. But now as a counselor, as I'm speaking, verse after verse comes out, right? But others have the understanding right now within the church. And sometimes as a disciple of the Lord, your duty for this season may just be bringing people to church. How many know somebody that should be coming to church? Amen? And not just any church, but where they're going to be taught, they're going to walk into the presence of the Lord and transformation and the renewing of the mind, amen, is going to be taking place within their lives. Sometimes we can fall asleep in the church. We have everything it takes to have people's lives be radically transformed. But why does it not take place at times? Because we don't share our faith. What happens when we don't share our faith? The understanding of every good thing we have in Christ never gets used, never comes forth like it should. We're going to build this church this year. We have leadership in position. Bills are being paid right now. Everything's in place to grow this church, but we all have a work to do within growing this church. Again, this could be your first service, and you can bring two or three families next week. Just bring them to the net. And once you bring them in, you've done your job. Then the Holy Spirit takes over. People that have already been equipped with the understanding of Christ are able to minister to them. Amen. And growth can start to take place. What's even greater than that is when you're able to disciple that person to grow and develop into a dedicated, fruitful, and mature disciple. If it happened for me, it can happen for any one of you, any one of you. But what is sad is when we have already been equipped, we have the understanding, and we do not share our faith. That is sin. That's what's going to put here, bring the multiplication unto our church, the church growth. We need to become active disciplers, not just disciples that have knowledge. We need to be active disciples. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. We're going to have to be active disciplers, not just knowing disciplers, but active disciplers. I have a simple question I asked the leadership downstairs this morning. Who are you currently working with right now? Who are you pouring into right now? Who are you simply just bringing to church? Being a disciple, as a discipler, who are you working with right now? Are you really spending time on a weekly basis with a few people? Or are you just coming to church 10 years later like the next person that just came this morning for the very first time? They yet not have the understanding. You got the understanding, but the fruit's the same. It's none. In order to bear fruit, amen, you got to have roots. In order to have roots, you got to be active in the sharing of your faith in what Christ has done in your life and what he's able to do in anybody's life. But we got to keep sharing the faith. There's a little story here. Jesus died. Third day, he got raised up again. He's back in heaven. He's back in heaven. And one of the angels catches up with Jesus there in heaven. And the angel asks Jesus the question, hey, what plan do you have to continue the work you started on earth? And Jesus answered, I left it in the hands of the disciples. First angel asks, what plan do you have to continue the work you started on earth? Jesus answered, I left it in the hands of the disciples. Another angel came to Jesus and asked, what if they fail? What if those disciples fail? What if they're not active in the sharing of their faith? Jesus answered, I have no other plan. I would have never thought that I would be the plan of Jesus in my wildest dreams, but I simply just kept stepping out in faith. I just simply kept stepping out in faith. And there were so many in the church that I just passed up, like if they were never moving all their walk with the Lord. Because I was so grateful in what he took me out of. I was so grateful what he pulled me out of that I kept on stepping, man. I kept on, and every step I took was a step of faith. It just wasn't the first step that was one of faith. It's every step. Every time we take a step, we go on to another place of the unknown, the uncharted waters. It's every time the Lord wants to keep us fresh, alive. He wants us to keep us depending on him. So he continues to call us to walk by faith. When our little children start to walk, we're not just happy after they take the first step. Ah, they took the first step. Let's leave. Let's go. That's it. That's good enough for me. No, man. We let them go again and again, even if they got to fall and they got to fall. Come on, mommy. Boom. Come on, mommy. Boom. Wah. Come on, mommy. You can do it. Bam, 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 bam. She did it. He did it. How much more a Heavenly Father that has given us full understanding of every good thing we have in him when he calls us forward. Every time he calls us forward, every time we move in faith, even though we're not understanding, understanding comes and follows our steps of faith. It's good stuff this morning. It's not on the paper. It's not on paper. The problem is, with the church, nobody's stepping out by faith because they're looking and hearing and going by their five senses when our walk is one of faith and not of sight. Start critiquing everything in the natural realm when you should be walking and sharing in the faith that brings fresh understanding. Sometimes the understanding you have can only take you so far. It's getting better. You can say, Pastor, I was doing great. I have 8 years in the Lord. I'm doing great. And then, boom, stand still. How are you going to get fresh understanding? Sharing of your faith a little bit. Every time you share of your faith, God gives you understanding. He gives you understanding. I passed up a lot of educated people, wealthy people in the church, amen. And I came straight out of prison with no understanding. But when I got saved, little did I know that I had the full understanding of God and what he wanted from my life, the purpose in my life, and I'm walking in it right now. And even though I've been saved for 18 years, I'm still stepping out by faith. And every time I do, it's just as new for me as it is for you when you step out in faith. I don't have a magic wand that I wave over my head in the morning and I don't go through trials and tribulation. I don't have a magic wand like that. I would have waved it a long time ago. Over every one of you, if that's what it took. But Jesus calls us to share our faith. You want more understanding? It's time for you to step out. You want to go from the realm of a disciple to a discipler with understanding greater and greater? You got to step out. And that's why the work of the enemy is to keep you from stepping out in faith and most of all, sharing your faith. Sometimes you just got to step out in faith for you, yourself, and I. And as you do that, the Lord once again restores you and strengthens you and allows you to start sharing your faith with others. The Great Commission. Jesus answered, I have no other plan. Question, has God given you chance after chance and you find yourself here still in the presence of the Lord? Saying, God, man, here I am again. I messed up that time, that time, and that time, but here I am again. God's grace and mercy. Why? You're His plan A. He still wants to use you. He still loves you. He still knows there's so much understanding left within your life, but too many times we get stuck. And along as when we get stuck, the understanding stops coming forth. Sometimes the only understanding you're going to get is from Jesus. You look at people and say, oh, it ain't coming from there. Sometimes the only place of understanding comes in stepping out in faith with the Lord. For once again, understanding comes where you know, it comes from the Lord. Big question. How do we become these disciples? How do we become these disciplers? This is me just putting simple thoughts here today. And my number one thing is availability. Availability. Availability is a two-way street. Amen? If you find yourself as a new convert, there's disciples that are set already in the church right now to work with you. This is all we strategize about. Amen? All our meetings tie in to discipling somebody. And right now, that's what we're really doing right now, dealing with the life groups. It's hard to disciple somebody that is not available. It's kind of hard to disciple Joe the Ghost. I ain't Scooby-Doo, man. Shaq and where the other guy's name is. All that church and all this stuff. It's kind of hard to train and develop and raise people up that are not there, not available. We got to look for people that are coming to the church all the time. They ain't about, they're quiet, but they keep coming. They're broken at the altar. They are making themselves available to become teachable. And as they're teachable and we step out in the sharing of our faith, before you know it, they start getting understanding from the sharing of your understanding in your life. And before you know it, it goes into their life. And before you know it, they're giving it to somebody else. But you can't give something you ain't got. We need to be available. I was available 7 days a week unto my pastor with a full-time back-breaking job. For those that say I'm tired right now, a back-breaking job. I didn't work 8 hours. There was 13, 15-hour days, and I would run to the church till midnight, sometimes to the morning. I was long-winded, long-winded. I was available. If I was dead asleep when my pastor called, I would see his number, and I'd say, hey, pastor, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing right now? Hey, nothing, pastor. Hey, I'm coming over right now. You got it, man. Man, I'm running, putting my pants, I'm brushing my teeth, getting all ready. He wakes up at 4 in the morning, man. He wakes up too early. And then I would go racing, man, and I would massage the wrinkles on my face from the pillow. And, oh, man, that got to go. He's going to know I was asleep. He's going to know. Yeah, I used to tweak like that. I used to tweak bad. Some of you say, man, pastor's been looking at my pillow marks on my face. Yeah, I have. I examine closely. You know, just enough time just to put a cap on. Hey, pastor, what are you doing, man? Yeah, I was up. Yeah, where are we going? What are we going to do? He would call sometimes. It would be midday. Hey, what are you doing? Nothing, pastor. What do you want to go do? You want to go eat? Yeah. And I just finished pigging out, and I would. God, this is a good burrito. And I would still go eat with my. I never said no to my pastor once. From A to Z, whether it was something spiritual, physical, or going checking somebody in the church. I never said no once. I shared my faith. We need to be available. God can't move if you are not available. And too many times we're really quick to put the blame when you're not available. Disciples are available. I put here, you cannot train people who are not available. And that's why we have life groups that you can become involved with, amen. There's different core ministries within the church that you can get involved with so that you can grow in the things of the Lord. I was speaking with my wife, and we're going to put a big thing. We're going to start making little bulletins for all the church can know the events of the month, of the week, or what have you. And we have no excuses to make ourselves available. No excuses to be in position to be teachable. No excuses to grow so that we can step out in the sharing of our faith. We got to really want this. Some of you want the relationship you're in more than you want this. Some of you want your job more than you want this. You got to be available. You got to be available. I want the life group leaders to come up right now. If you're a life group leader, I want you to step up right now. Don't everybody run at the same time either. Alberto's supposed to be called up right now. If I could please have Alberto come up. It's real easy. I could hit a person that was here for the first time and you could go find out who the worship team was in the crowd because you see them up here all the time. You see them up here all the time. You see them up here all the time. Let's all step it up. Come up over here, guys. Keith, line yourself right about it, right here. You know what I mean? All right. Getting them in position. It's got to be available. Got to be available. These are the life group Bible studies. Who's got? I left it in my office. There's one on. Take a look. This is the leadership we have in place right now with the beginning life groups, and there's going to be more life groups opening up. A life group is simply a place that's a Bible study done at a house or in the church on an off day, amen, where you can come in blue jeans and T-shirt, amen, straight out of work, all dirty or whatever, come sleepy with pillow marks on your face, amen. That might be half the church. They might not come next Sunday, Jamie. So you can come with pillow marks, amen. Say amen. Hey, pillow markers. So, over here, we have something going on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, in three locations on Saturday, amen. But and on Monday, I just want you to step up when I call your name. We have Lydia, amen. Come step up. That's fine right there. This is Sister Lydia. She's the director of the women's home. And the address, they got little cards on you? All right, some of them got them. All right, they're still in the cooking right now. They're sticking them on right now, man. This is the best. It's up back there. My wife's in the sweat lodge right now. Praise the Lord. And then for the youth gang warriors, gang stands for God's anointed now generation. Your kids ain't getting into a gang. Amen? And that is on Tuesday. That's Alberto. Alberto can step up. Amen. See, he's being active. He's being available. We had to call him from the children's ministry right now. He has two life groups a week. He has a full-time banking job. He goes full-time to school. And this cat is putting in some hours. He's making himself available. Lydia don't count. She has to be there. She's the women's home director. Thursday women's, we have Sister Sandra. She can step up. Right now, Sandra's overseeing all the life groups, the strategy and everything that we're putting together. We're working with one another to bring a structure and everything, so when you come to the life groups, real soon we're going to get all on the same page, and then real soon we're going to have a big party on Saturday where all of you are welcomed, amen, for we can transmit to you what's been getting transmitted to them so that you can know what they're trying to do in you. Amen. Why is she talking to me like that? Why is she telling me to go talk to her? For you can have the Blue's Clue insight. Amen. Saturday, men's fellowship, Keith and Jason step up. They're at second phase. They've gone through the rehab. Amen. They've been in second phase. Keith, how long have you been in second phase? 5 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's posted up there. Jason's there with them. Amen. And they have their Saturday morning. With these two cats, you can bring any extreme gang member, drug addict. I mean, you can drag them straight out of the snow and ice and just say, here he is. That's my husband. How much you want for him? Ask Jason, he'll be cheaper than Keith. Keith will charge you big money, amen? Well, you know, no, it's on the house. It's on the house. Extreme cases. You can bring to this Saturday extreme cases to the women's rehab there, because it's set up for extreme cases. Somebody cussing in the middle of the Bible study, we ain't going to trip on it. Somebody doing something really crazy, wanting to fight, we ain't going to trip on it. Amen? Sounds like a good Bible study, huh? Step out. And then on Saturday also, I want you to go back, Alberto. Then I want you to step out again. It's making it look good like there's more, right? It's an illusion. He has another life group for the youth, amen, for the youth. And then Saturday, I need, Ontala, Sonia. Sonia, step up. Anitra, step up. And these are the women that are leaders in the church that are working with the youth, your youth. You can trust them with everything. Good people. Amen. Where your youth or your husband or your wife, your neighbor, your cousin can come and start getting equipped with the understanding that's already with them to come out. For they can know their true purpose, but they need to be discipled. They need to be worked with. Amen. Praying for them all the time and leaving them at the house ain't good enough. They're going to have to what? Step out. What's already been worked very hard for 13 years, we worked very hard to be where we're at right now. It brings understanding out of that individual that ain't understanding right now. Hold that, please. They're going to be in the foyer when you guys let out. Amen. And if you want to go to Sandra's or Lydia's or Sonia's or Jason's or Keith's or Anita or Roberto, they're going to have a little flyer with a little sticker, the address to where, the day, the time, and so forth. I want you all just to stand there. I want them to keep on looking at you. The book of John, and we're going to finish up right now. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible reads, that was that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, talking about Jesus, amen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. And we know that to be Jesus. Here John was saying, we heard him, we seen him, and we had contact with him. As disciples, not only do the disciples need to be available, it's a two-way street, but so do the disciples need to be available. You guys need to be available. This plan can't go forth without availability, amen? As the newcomer, you need to be available. It was just like, this is a good problem. We had New Year's was on Thursday. It's Thursday night, but it was on Friday, right? Well, on Friday, we have the youth service. Amen? And the youth were begging, brother, yeah, I'm putting you on blast, David, amen? So they were begging David in front of me, come on, because their night is on Friday. And they were begging David, come on, let's have our youth service, David. And they were all, and I'm like, I was going to help David out. He's married. He's got all these kids. And poor guy, he needs a day off, man, right? David's the guy standing up there, the usher, the one kind of red and not knowing where I'm going with this, amen? And I was going to say, hey, leave David alone. He's married. He's got kids. Come on, guys. And they continued. Then I thought about it. This is what we've always wanted. David, you better do what's wise. I didn't give him the answer. But come Friday, I waited, and they had youth service that night on New Year's Day. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen? Isn't that real good when the disciples are the ones encouraging the disciples? But sometimes it happens. David could have stuck to his guns and still been a good leader and says, nah, my wife told me I had to stay home. Could have come with one of them licks, amen? Or I'm going to say, nah, David, you're lying. She didn't say that. Come on, get with the kids. They had a great time. They had worship because I told them when they came off the mountain of the retreat that they were going to have to come back and live worship again, and they had it. Some of them stepped up and singing, right, David? Would that have taken place if you wouldn't have been available that day? Say it louder, you humble person. David, no. He's an ex-gangster. David's an ex-gangster. He hates when I say that. I love when I say it. Disciples, they're going to have to hear from you. The understanding, it's going to have to come out of you. In order for it to come out, you're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to be in position. You're going to have to be available. Amen? They're going to have to hear you, the words of Christ. They're going to have to see you, the exampleship of Christ. And they're going to have to be able to touch you. Or you should be laying hands and touching them. There's got to be contact. John said, man, we heard him. We saw him, man. Man, we were able to touch Jesus. He's real. This is what we're proclaiming. He's real. You guys come down, and I want you to just line up there without just there, because you're going to be laying hands on people at this service. It's not on the notes. It starts at the top, and it works its way on down. Miguel, worship team, please. I want you to face that way. Come back there and face that way. Maybe step back a little bit. We're going to have disciples come forth right now. I knew I only had so much on paper, but I knew the Lord was going to do something. We're going to have disciples that are going to be before us. Amen. And sometimes it's not they that got to hear us and see us and touch us. We got to hear and see and touch them. I can't cover the whole church. But you guys can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. After you 7, just build up one person. Well, then we have a line that reaches another 7. Then we have 14 just by you making one disciple. You guys already got the understanding to make disciples. Then we have 14 people. And the altar calls happen, and the lost come. Those that are hurting come. The disciples that were stepping out by faith, amen, because they want that understanding. They want a breakthrough in their lives, and they stand before the leadership. They stand before this good stuff right now. We have 14. It's the multiplication. It's what's going to grow this church. You all are going to grow this church. Stop putting the rap on me. You guys are going to grow this church. God has given you understanding to grow this church, but you're going to have to be available. You're going to have to see, hear, and touch the lives that are in this church. It's going to have to be a concern of yours. You make the 14, amen. They make one, then we have 21, and before you know it, there's going to be a greater line of disciples than of disciples. We have that wisdom already. We got that wisdom. But the devil's going to come. He's going to hit. He's going to rock. Because the heartbeat of the Father is for us to make disciples. So you know that. But the Bible says in the Great Commission that he will be with us to the very end of the age, the Bible says. You guys right now represent the church. I empower you right now. So oil, talked about the oil. I got a thought right now. I'm delegating authority right now. You guys got a complaint? Take it to one of these people. You know who they are now. You can match the name with the face. I anoint you, Alberto, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Anitra, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Keith, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Jason, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Sandra, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Lydia, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. I anoint you, Sonia, in the name of Jesus, to be an effective discipler. Now go and anoint. Now go and make disciples. The very words of the Father that Jesus used before he left the disciples. Go ye and make disciples out of all nations. As we sing the song,